Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. By the way, if you're not in Sunday school, I want to encourage you to get involved in one of the classes somewhere. I love Sunday school, and my heart was challenged in Sunday school this morning. We were studying about God delivering His people, and they were headed out of Egypt. They came up to the Red Sea, where God told them to camp. Behind them came Pharaoh and the army. First thing the Israelites said to Moses, "Why have you delivered us out of Egypt to die?" You know, when we sometimes come across difficulties, we see them as difficulties. And that's what the Israelites were seeing. You know what Moses said to them? He goes, "Guys, wait a minute. This is an opportunity. Opportunity to see God deliver His people." And you see those Egyptians you're looking at? Look at them really good, because you ain't going to see them no more. Man, the faith that he had. You know, a lot of times, like I said, when I see a negative, I see it as a negative. Faith sees it as an opportunity to see what God's going to do. I want us to look at a passage this morning found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. By the way, if you've studied the Scriptures, most of you know this is the love chapter. This is the chapter that describes godly love better than any place in Scripture other than John 3:16 or 1 John 3:16. You know, that talks about how God showed us what love is by giving His Son. But this describes in detail the importance of love. And let me share what the problem was. The Corinthian church probably had more of the spiritual gifts than any other church. I mean, they had all the list in that church, and maybe some that weren't in that list. And some of them had got it in their minds and hearts that some spiritual gifts were better than others. Things like speaking in tongues or prophecy or knowledge was more important than the gift of helps. By the way, God doesn't see it that way. God referred to the body of Christ and the spiritual gifts as a body that has all of its functions. Whether it's the little fingers or the big fingers or the middle fingers or the toes or the ears or the eyes or the nose or the mouth. Everything had a purpose that God gave us. Sometimes we use them too much for the wrong reasons, but God has a purpose for us. And if one is in trouble, the rest of it, body's in trouble. Okay? Whether it's smashing your finger with a hammer. If you've ever done that and you still got more to work on afterwards, you'll find out how important that finger was. There's just certain things we need. And so when he compared that to the body, he's talking about every part in the body is important, whatever that spiritual gift might be. Whether it's cleaning the bathroom toilets or bringing the message on Sunday morning. Both of them are important. Amen? And to correct them, to let them know something about what really was important to God, he slips chapter 13 right in the middle of spiritual gifts. He wanted them to understand something. He wanted them to understand that even if you could speak with the voice of an angel, or you had enough faith to move mountains, or even if you were willing to give your life for the cause, he said, without love, those things are useless. When he gets down to the end of describing what love is all about, you'll notice in verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. He says, "Love never fails. Whether there's prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, what he's saying is, guys, there's coming a time in the future when spiritual gifts won't be needed anymore. No matter what they are, whether it's tongues or prophecy or knowledge or whatever you think's the most important gifts, there's coming a time when it will not be needed anymore. Now, you look at this and go, you know, Paul just kind of seemed to throw this in at random. Well, notice the next verse. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect or complete has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these three is love. Now, what Paul's saying is there's coming a time in the future. Now, he called it that which is perfect or that which is complete. Now, when I went to Bible college a number of years ago, they taught us that was one thing. In fact, if you got a MacArthur Study Bible, he's going to tell you the same thing in his Bible. And what they taught us was that which was perfect would be, or complete would be, the Word of God. When the Word of God was complete, when all the letters and the books were added to the New Testament and it became complete, then some of these spiritual gifts would fall by the wayside. And that was a way of justifying that some of the spiritual gifts are not for us today. But guys, if I studied it through the years, I kind of realized that's not what they're talking about at all. They're not talking about the Word of God. Now, guys, we've got a reliable Bible. I want you to understand something. The Scriptures that we have today are 99.9% accurate. Did you know that? The copies of the Word of God that we have today are 99.99% accurate. That's the Holy Spirit preserving that. You say, well, is there inaccuracies in there? Yep, sometimes they copy the same verse over. Sometimes they added periods or commas in areas where it didn't need them. By the way, don't go by the verses themselves, 20, 21, 22. That was man added. The original Scripture didn't have those. It just makes it easy for you and I to follow when we're teaching. Okay? But they weren't really there. So sometimes chapter divisions are not where they're supposed to be. They lose the thought when they stop on one verse and then start another thing. But guys, 99.9% is accurate. When we talk about the Word of God is inspired, without error, infallible, we're talking about in the original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. I got a couple of copies of the Greek if you want it later on to look at. So what is that which is perfect? What's he talking about? Well, I think the clue is in a verse or two below that. Let's look at verse, Let's look at verse 12 for a minute. He says, for now I see in a mirror, dimly. How many of you like mirrors? Oh, come on, ladies, raise up your hand. How many of you like mirrors? And guys, I know some of you guys use it too. Come on. And guys, there's a difference in mirrors. If you use the mirror in my kitchenette by the office, it's not well lit. So you can't see all the little blackheads, and you can't see all the little pimples, and you can't see all the possum blonde hairs. That's what my barber calls them, possum blonde. There's a bad case of that going around, it looks to me like. I wonder if Miss Clairol has that possum blonde on the shelf. But if you get a good mirror and you get a well-lit room, you can see everything. There's a picture of Billy the Kid. There's not very many pictures of Billy the Kid, but there was a photograph taken. And back in the old days, when they'd take a photograph, it would be a mirror image. And they got to noticing that his gun shot on the wrong side in that picture, because you got a mirror image. It was backwards. So there is some distortion when we talk about mirrors. You know, you see something on your cheek and you reach up to get it and it was on this side. Oh, okay, I got it now. But mirrors are different today than they were back in those days. Now mirrors are important for us today because they show us things that we wouldn't see on our own. You know, you can't see a pimple down here on your chin. Look in the mirror, it'll show you. Your hair's unparted the wrong way. The mirror helps you see that. You know, all those wonderful things. But we use mirrors on our vehicles, too, to back up. Have you ever seen a truck driver back one of them 18-wheelers up between two 18-wheelers and a truck stop? My goodness. I can't even drive in forward between those two things. And that rascal pulls in there and he's not looking. I got to look out the door, see where I'm going. He's just looking in his little mirrors, just backing her up. Mirrors come in handy. We even have backup cameras today. Isn't that awesome? Do you trust yours? I'm looking at that backup camera, and I still got to look back. I just don't trust that thing, okay? I guess lying to me. But back in Paul's day, mirrors weren't the same. In fact, they didn't have a mirror like we've got today, where we have something encased between glass that gives us a good reflection. They would take shiny metal like brass or bronze, and they would shine it and shine it and shine it until you could see yourself in it. Unfortunately, you can't see the blemishes too good in that. It just kind of gives you sort of a picture of yourself. You ever been one of those places where the mirrors are distorted? Walk by one and you're skinny. By the next one, you're short. And then the last one, you got to go to Weight Watchers. What Paul is saying is, even as believers today, what we see and understand is limited. You and I are finite. We're not infinite like God. We are not all-knowing. We're not all-powerful. We don't have it all together, and we don't have all the answers. Most of the time, even as believers, we've got tunnel vision. And we just see those things usually that involve us. When we think about the knowledge of God, God is able to, that He's outside of even the realm of time. Do you know that God can see the past, present, and future all at one time? You and I have a hard time seeing the present. Too many times we dwell in the past. Well, guys, even as believers, our sight is limited, and God knew that. That's one of the reasons that He's provided what we needed in our life as believers. You see, the very first thing that happens after you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and by the way, this happens all at one time, okay? So when I put it in a list, I don't want you to think it takes forever to happen. All this happens at one time, but when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Now, the Bible tells us some things about the world that we live in today. It tells us that Satan blinds the lost so they won't see the truth. You ever talk to somebody about Christ and they just looked at you like you were stupid? What turnip truck did you fall off of yesterday? You know? There's also a passage in Romans, the first chapter, that tells us that man all along had a knowledge of God, and that God's knowledge is out there, that we can see the glory of the Lord even through nature, but man has chose to disregard that and to actually buy into a lie that God's not real and we don't need Him. We can handle it all on our own. And today, that's pretty much our educational system. If you go to college and the universities up there today, that's what you find. Everything revolves around no God. And so you got to explain everything away by a big bang, or we climbed out of the ooze somewhere along the line and developed something along that line. It takes to me a lot more faith to believe that than to believe there was an intelligent creator that put it all together. But anyhow, the Bible says that the world has done that. It also talks about, even in the scriptures, Jesus gives a parable of the sower and the soils. And he talks about that first soils like the seed falling on hard ground, and the birds come along and they steal the seed away. But when you look at the explanation of that, when Jesus has to explain to his disciples, because they didn't understand the parable, and he begins to explain to him, he said that those birds are Satan. And those seeds are the Word of God. And when the seeds are sown, Satan does his very best to steal away the Word of God, lest they see the truth and believe. So we have a world out there that's in the dark, and Satan wants to keep them in the dark. But you and I are lucky enough that when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we had the Holy Spirit come into our lives and begin to open up those spiritual eyes so that we could begin to see truth. Isn't that awesome? He also gave us the Word of God. Man, I can't think of anything greater than the Word of God. Now, I don't believe that's what he's talking about in this passage, but praise the Lord for the Word of God. This is the book that tells us about God, isn't it? Tells us about our shortcomings and about who the Lord is and what he can do in our lives. Praise the Lord for that as well. He also gives us spiritual gifts. Every born-again believer has at least one. And some of you have more than one. You know what? If I ask how many of you knew your spiritual gift, I guarantee you over half of you would say, I don't know what it is. Now, it's really hard to use your spiritual gift if you've got no idea what that spiritual gift might be. Now, some of you are using it and don't even realize you're using it, because it is given by the Holy Spirit. It can be developed, but we still have it, and it can be used. But you see, what they had come in to believe, the first Corinthians or the Corinthian church had come to believe that they were better because they had certain spiritual gifts. And God says, no, wait a minute. There's coming a time when you won't need those spiritual gifts. Notice what he says. He says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now, what does he mean by that? I would say when the Lord comes back. You see, salvation is actually in three tenses. I bet you didn't know that. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin. And I shall be saved from the presence of sin. Now, the first one happens when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That sin, past, present, and future, was paid for. Now we're living under what we call sanctification in the life of a believer, as the Holy Spirit works in our life to show us areas and show us the power and strength of God to learn how to not give in to that old nature and those sins that are there and start following Him. All right? But when God calls us home, either through death or the rapture, the presence of sin will be eradicated. What do you think a person will be like that doesn't have a sinful nature? A person without a sinful nature. Jesus is the only one that we got to compare that to. He's the only one that didn't have a sinful nature. You know? Sometimes we look at Jesus and it goes against the grain because we wouldn't think he'd do that. Other times we think he would do something and he wouldn't do it that way. But we look at him and we see the love, the mercy, the approachability. But guys, we also see something else about Jesus. There were times he got angry. Angry at unrighteousness. Not a sinner unrighteous in the sense that they come to the Lord. He was always open for that. But usually a self-righteous person, a religious leader, he would be short with. Now, the bad thing about it is, I know what this verse means, and this is the one the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning, because I heard it last week either heard it or saw it or read it. I can't remember now, but it was quoted wrong. Because this sounds like one of those mystic verses. Well, think about it for a minute. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. That's got one of those rings to it. It's kind of like one in Proverbs. People like verses like that. But guys, when I heard it, it wasn't quoted right. It wasn't the right thing that they were given for it. And so the Lord just laid it on my heart to bring in this morning and look at it. He's talking about now we don't understand everything. Is there questions you'd like to ask God right now? I can make you a list. I have a list myself that I would really like to ask God about this, or why He did that, or why He didn't do this, or why He allowed that happen and didn't allow this. There's a lot of things I'd like to ask God that I'd like to have answers for. I don't have all the answers. And you notice that the human beings are inquisitive. We want to know. You don't believe that? Just go into a grocery store and watch housewives and ladies in that line, and there's all those magazines. The president kidnapped by aliens. You got television. I love this. They call them real television, you know, where they're not actors, they're supposed to be. The ones who are looking for Bigfoot. They got 10 of the redneckedest rednecks you've ever saw. Missing teeth, carrying shotguns, and they're in their coveralls. Looking for Bigfoot. We're going to trap him. Why? Because we want to know, is he real? My favorite's the new commercial for the four-wheelers. Have you seen that one? All you hear is a voice. I saw it. It's real. I was so close I could almost smell it. And all of a sudden it disappeared. When you see the picture, it is a little Bigfoot talking to two Bigfoots about a four-wheeler going through the woods. The two Bigfoots looked at him and said, "You're crazy." We want to know. How about that kid when they're about two or three or four and they ask you why? Well, just because. No, why? Well, so and so. Well, why is that? Well, so and so and so. But why is that? Shut up, kid. I don't know. We don't usually say that, but we're thinking it. You can't say, "I don't know," because, you know, you don't want to be dumb. But guys, we do want to know. God's given us that. We want to find out. Well, guess what? There's coming a time when you're going to know the whole truth. He said we only understand in part now because of that sinful nature we got, because we're finite. Our minds can only go so far. That's where faith comes in, by the way. But there's coming a time. Notice in that verse he says, where we're face to face. You know what we're talking about when the Lord comes back? When the Lord comes back, we're changed. Now, most of the time we're thinking in terms of a physical change. You know, we cast off this old body and we get a glorified body. Hopefully one that doesn't gain weight. Oh, be real. You're hoping we're going to eat in heaven just like me, right? But you know, not just do we receive a glorified body, but the Bible says mentally and spiritually we change. First of all, the sinful nature is taken away. Now, I don't know how to act like that. Do you ever, when you get mad at something or upset at something, do you ever play a whole story to yourself? I'll be out there going, "Man, if I could just get a hold of that rascal. I'd tell them exactly how I feel. And then I'd do so-and-so to them. And then I'd take it out on them really. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. Have you ever done that? That's that old sinful nature. We're thinking about how we can get back at them. How we can finally tell that boss all of what we've been wanting to say all along. But I was afraid I'd lose my job, so I didn't. Guys, can you imagine that when your thoughts come out, they're pure and loving and caring? You know, we live in a world today where we hate each other because we're different. Isn't that sad? We live in a world where we hate each other because we're different. We don't like people because they're black, or we don't like people because they're white, or we don't like people because they come from a different country, a different religion, a different way of life. They don't think the way I do, so I don't like them. We live in a world where we do that. But you know, when we get to heaven and our minds are changed, and sin is completely gone, that we're going to love each other for the differences. Did you ever think about that? Not one of us in this room is the same. Some are uglier than others. No, I'm just kidding. See, you're thinking of the physical again. I caught you. We're all different. I mean, if we could get rid of the bodies right now and just get us down to the essence of each one of us, we'd still look different. Because God created us different. God made us with different personalities. And even if you got the same personality as somebody else, you had a different upbringing. So that personality manifests itself differently. Your likes, your dislikes are different. We're all unique. God created us unique and different. The thing that causes us to hate each other, it'll be the very thing that causes us to love. Because we won't blame each other for what we are. We'll thank God for what He did. How He created us. Southern people are like Northern folk. Northern folk are like Southern folk. And we'll even like people from California. That's a different world. We don't count that, okay? It's like Miami. Miami's not a part of Florida. That's Cuba. Just floated a little bit. But guys, we're going to love each other for the differences that God created. Man, aren't you glad that God made things different? Get a chance to go across the United States. You don't have to go across the world to see great things. Just go across the United States. Go to Texas. You'll wonder what God was thinking, but go to Texas. It's amazing. Everybody from Texas thinks there's nothing better than Texas until they leave and come to Florida. Guys, we're all different. God created things all different. You know, they say, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but they say snowflakes, every single one of them, has a unique shape. There's not two the same. When it comes to people, God did the same thing. Wow, what's it going to be in glory when we're up there and we have a service? And by the way, it won't get over at 12. Ain't no watches or clocks in heaven. Those are sinful things. But we're up there and we're just going to be... You're not going to have hatred in your heart. You're not going to be selfish. You're not going to be thinking about yourself. You're only thinking about the Lord and everybody else. And we're going to be in a worship service together, listening to the angels, listening to each other, praising God. How wonderful is that going to be? Even the animals don't hate each other. Guys, think about it for a minute. One of the reasons I was looking for this, trying to figure out how to apply it, I was asking the wrong question. That's the hope that we have in the future. But what about now? Why did God leave us here after we got saved? Wouldn't it have been great if at once you trusted Jesus Christ, you got a glorified body, sin was completely removed, and you were raptured up into glory all at one instant? Wouldn't that be great? It would be. Trust me, if you went to glory one time, you would not come back, okay? Ask Lazarus when you get there how much he enjoyed coming back to his sisters. Just saying. The reason God didn't is because he wants to show Satan and the fallen angels, the professors in the colleges and the universities, and each other, just what God can do in our lives right now through his Son Jesus, through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. If we're willing to follow, he can lead our lives in the right direction even now. Guys, what a better testimony than to see somebody's life change out in front of the world. To see people coming to love each other, not because of their color or their nationality or even their religion, but because they were God's creation and we love each other for it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, God wants to do that right now. You don't have to know everything in the world. You can still have questions. You don't have to know everything that God knows to do that. Praise the Lord. He's provided the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and he's given you a spiritual gift to use to help each other. You see, that's what church is all about. I'm going to tell you what, I've enjoyed church this morning. I really did. I didn't enjoy church last Sunday. I wasn't feeling good, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't. I love you, but I wasn't feeling good. But I'm feeling good today, and I've enjoyed church. Now, when I was probably about 9 years old, I wouldn't have told you that. Dang, preacher preaches too long. Mama pinched me if I say anything out loud. Wake you up if you fall asleep. Man, I wish that choir would hurry up. They're terrible. But you know what? I really didn't know Jesus back then. But praise the Lord, I know him now. I'm not where I need to be. I hadn't got there yet. But praise the Lord, he's still working on me. But I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven and start loving you. I'm going to start right now. All right? If you start loving me right now, just imagine how good it would be when we get there. Today, we look into a mirror and we see dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm known. We don't have time to look at Psalm 139, but Psalm 139 talks about how a baby is created by God. And how he knows that baby intimately in the womb. And just as God knows me, when he takes out that sinful nature, my knowledge is going to increase a little. We're going to appreciate each other there. We're going to love each other. How awesome. Can you imagine Jesus up giving us a sermon? Fathers, we come to you this morning.